Well, baptism is a one-time action. And there is comfort in this, actually. It means our immersion into life with God is permanent. It's not on and off and on and off. We're immersed into life with God once. The baptism of the Spirit is not fickle. It's not based on our performance, because we rise and fall. We do well and we do poorly. But believers are immersed into life with God because Jesus accomplished everything that was necessary. And we are rooted in him and immersed in him. However, there is also comfort in repeated eating and drinking. Now, we all love comfort food. You know what comfort food is? It's the stuff you eat when you want to feel better. And a lot of comfort food is probably considered unhealthy. Most people don't eat celery and carrot sticks for comfort food. Now, last night at supper, my wife was telling me how much she likes celery. And I said, "You just ruined my illustration for tomorrow." She was really enjoying it. In fact, she even said to Sean and I, who were eating supper, she said, "Can I have the celery?" I said, "Oh yeah, absolutely. It's hard for me, but you have the celery." You know, who wants celery anyway? She does. She liked it. Great. Eat it all. But fried foods and baked goods, they probably top the list of comfort foods. And I'd like to add today that bread and wine are also comfort foods. Now, some of you are freaking out right now by that. But by that, I mean the so-called bread and the so-called wine that we have here in these little cups. They are actually comfort food, the best comfort food, the best soul food that we could possibly have. Maybe not in terms of flavor, maybe not in terms of vintage, but certainly in terms of what we remember at this table and who we celebrate. Our life with Christ has a beginning. We confess that in the waters of baptism. But our life has a continuation with Christ. It continues, and that's what we celebrate here at this communion table. Our life with Christ is, to use a figure of speech, punctiliar. Now, you may not know that term, and unless you studied Greek, you probably wouldn't know that term. You'd have no reason to know that term, but the word punctiliar in the Greek language means that there was an action in the past with results continuing into the present. And we used to, in Greek class, demonstrate this word by drawing a dot, that's the point in time, with a line and an arrow on the end. Because it demonstrated the fact that there was an action in the past with results continuing into the present. We were baptized into this life with God, and we are nourished by him. Jesus saves us. He sustains us. Friends, Jesus is going to take us all the way. Saved to the uttermost, the scripture says. He's going to finish the job. He's going to get us there. This is possible because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh. Now, in a moment here, our servers are going to come with these trays, and in these trays are a double stack of cups. You should take both cups. On the bottom cup, there's a wafer, and the top cup has the juice. You should take both of those. And in that bottom cup, there's a little wafer there. That wafer is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of his incarnation. In other words, we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal God, took on humanity. He did that so he could take our place. But no regular human could take the place of everybody, so he did it as God. Human to take our place, God so he could take everybody's place. That's what we think about when we receive this little wafer, this reminder of the body of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus. One man could not possibly die for the sins of another man, let alone all mankind. But the God-man was put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. And then there's a cup in that stack. The cup reminds us of his death, that he shed his blood. Jesus really died. And his blood was shed, and it accomplished what the blood of thousands, maybe even millions, of animal sacrifices never accomplished and could not accomplish. And because of what Jesus accomplished, our sins can be removed as far as the east is from the west. Now, I say can because this forgiveness must be received. You must claim it for yourself. If you've never had a point in time when you said, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. Then right now you could do that right here in this spot. You don't have to run to the tank or anything. You right now, just in your own heart, you could say, God, save me. And he will. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Receive what he has made available to you. And once our forgiveness is received, our sins are buried in the depths of the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. Imagine that. Never brought up. You know, sometimes people say they forgive us of certain things, but then they bring it up over and over again. You ever have that happen? Don't point. But you know how that hurts? Like you thought it was gone, and now it's back again? I have good news for you. Because of what Jesus did, he's never going to remember your sins ever again. He's never going to bring it up. 10,000 years from now, he's not going to say, hey, you remember that time? It's gone. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to know this kind of forgiveness. He is slow to anger, full of compassion, and full of mercy. He loves to redeem, and he loves to restore. And he's so committed to us, he even made a new covenant to that effect. In Matthew 26, Jesus said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, the new promise, the new testament, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. We learn from Hebrews and from Jeremiah that the new covenant has other benefits. It also includes the implantation of a new heart. It includes the knowledge of God's ways to our spirit. It includes a personal relationship with him by the indwelling spirit. And we drink this cup as a toast, really, in gratitude for his provision and his promises. We receive, eat, and drink these reminders because it symbolizes that we have received Jesus. We participate in this. We don't just look at it. We don't just have a visual on the screen, but we're actually going to serve these to you, and you're actually going to take them, and we're actually going to participate in them in the way that the believers participated in that water. We're going to participate in this table together. We are not only forgiven through faith in Jesus, but we're sustained and nourished and transformed by him. This table is a reminder of these truths. And it serves as a place of fellowship with each other and with Christ. He's present here by his Spirit at this table. We fellowship with him. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that we are not to participate at this table in an unworthy manner. What does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, that we should not partake if we're not a believer. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not a Christian, then you should not receive these elements. But again, you could receive him right now and join us. But if you're not going to receive Jesus, then don't partake of these elements. Second, it means that we should not partake if we are in a state of rebellion and unwilling to repent. I like to say this every time because I think a lot of times we're struggling. We struggle with temptation. We struggle with trying to stay on the straight and narrow path. And I'm not saying that if you're struggling, you can't participate. If you're struggling, welcome to the club. But if you're unwilling to struggle, and you're just caving into temptation and rebellion, and you're not willing to repent and turn from that, then you know, you're missing the intent of what God did to save you. He wants to save you from that. So just refrain this time. Finally, it means that we should not partake if we are in conflict with someone and reconciliation is possible. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that if we don't pay attention to the body around us, if we don't pay attention to other people that are in the body of Christ, then we are partaking in an unworthy manner. So if we're in conflict with somebody, we're on the outs with someone, and reconciliation is possible, and we're refusing it, then we should refrain at this particular point. Now, of course, if the other party is unwilling to reconcile, that's out of our control. But if we can make something right, we should. You know, there are some fellowships that are so serious about this unity that they use a common loaf of bread and one cup. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It'd have to be a smaller fellowship. I mean, if we started a loaf of bread over here with the Borgers, and then everybody took a little piece of it off, and then we pass it all the way around over here, Melissa probably wouldn't get any. You know, that'd be a big loaf of bread or a really teeny part, and a lot of hands would touch it on the way. I'm not sure the CDC would approve. And a common cup, can you imagine? Jeremy starts it over here, then he passes it, everybody drinks, drink, drink, drink. We're just going to use these today, but you know, that's how serious they are about the unity, you see? One body, a common cup, a common loaf, because we are one body. In spirit, we need to think that way, because we're of one body in Jesus Christ. The point is, we are loved by the same Lord. We are one body, and we should love one another. So I'd like to invite our servers to come, please, and take their spot here in the front. And we're going to listen to some music while they serve you. And during the time that we're waiting for everyone to be served, let's allow the Spirit of God to just examine our hearts. There's a prayer that you can pray from Psalm 139. It says, "Search me and know me. Show me your ways. Lord, show me me." And some questions that you can be asking yourself during this time of examination, or there's really four or three questions and an action, I guess. Number one, you should be asking yourself, am I really a believer? Have I applied the work of Jesus to my own life? Number two, am I currently living in obedience to what I know? Or am I walking in a state of rebellion? Three, are my relationships in order, or do I need to forgive or reconcile or humble myself and make things right with someone? And then after you've thought about those things, spend some time in thanksgiving for all that He has done.